Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So a priest and an imam meet for a drink. It sounds like I'm starting to tell you a bad joke, but it's really the start of a 2016 Amazon television commercial that went viral right before Christmas. It was filmed in England, and it played in England, the United States, and Germany during the Christmas season. Millions of people saw it on television, and hundreds of thousands more Googled it when they heard about it, until millions of people were looking it up on the computer and it went viral. The ad starts with a snow-white-haired priest, Anglican priest, opening the door to his rectory and welcoming in his friend, a Muslim imam. They walk into the living room, where the two sit down on sofas and share a cup of tea, laughing and talking together. The ad has piano music playing over the sound that's the priest and the imam are sharing in conversation, so we can't really hear what they are saying to each other. But we can tell that they like each other. We can tell that they're old friends. When they get up from the sofa, at the end of their conversation, both of them wince and groan and rub their knees. They're an old priest and an old imam. And then they part ways. Once outside, the imam thinks of something that he wants to buy. He whips out the iPhone, and he orders it on Amazon Prime. And in the rectory, the old priest also thinks for a moment, takes out his cell phone, and orders something on Amazon Prime. And then we see two parcels, one arriving for the priest and one arriving for the imam. And when they open the parcels, it turns out they each bought each other the same thing. A pair of knee pads. And the commercial ends with each one putting on their knee pads under their religious robes and kneeling in their separate sanctuaries with a soft smile on each face. The ad is a breath of fresh air, and not only because it's beautifully filmed, but also because it's a simple story of interfaith friendship. And it's worth noting, and it turns out, that the priest in the commercial is a real priest, an Anglican priest who lives in London. And the imam is a real imam who lives in another part of England. So the commercial, though it's staged, is actually catching something real about interfaith friendships, because the priest and the imam both have friends who are priests and imams in their real lives, too. Somehow this TV commercial catches the authentic nature of faith and the authentic nature of interfaith friendship. As I said before, the commercial itself has almost no dialogue that we can actually make out, but visually, it is a feast. It's all about the friendship we see between these two men and the synchronized thoughtfulness of their actions. It's enough to make you want your own pair of knee pads. But the genius of this commercial is in the religious freedom, the friendship, and the hopefulness that breaks through this ad. This ad is really about grace and love flourishing in unexpected places. I hope it doesn't sound blasphemous to say this, but I think Jesus would have liked the story of the imam and the priest. He was always eating with Gentiles and sitting with tax collectors and building grace and love out of the most unexpected collection of people. He does that again in our gospel this morning. Jesus is so confident in the grace and power of his own religious life that he never tries to argue or convince people to join him. He engages people, he debates, he teaches, he heals, but he does not sell himself. He does not advertise. He doesn't try to force a commitment to God onto people, and he doesn't use grandiose words or elevated language. Jesus lives an authentic life and shares an authentic faith. He stays grounded. When Andrew and Simon think they've found the Messiah, Jesus does not rush to prove himself to them, nor does he congratulate them as if they've just won the spiritual lottery. "Come and see," is what he says. He invites them. "Come and see. Come and see for yourself. Try it on," he says. "Participate. Experience the life I live, the teachings I offer. Consider and decide for yourself. Come and see." Most people who have a vision or a program that they want to build will rush out to get as many people as possible to buy into that plan as quickly as possible. They will cajole and impress and try to control the situation. Jesus never uses force or domination or manipulation to convince anyone of anything. Again and again, Jesus trusts the one who sent him, God. And Jesus trusts in the power of God's vision. And Jesus trusts the people to whom he is sent. Jesus is not afraid of getting dirty or getting wet or speaking with strangers or even risking his life. But he insists on doing it, all of it, with an open-handed respect for the dignity of every human being. He engages people when they're ready to engage him. "Come and see," says Jesus to Simon and Andrew, his first disciples. "Come and see." We say to each other every Sunday and on regular days as well, "Come and see. Come and pray and sing and worship and confess and feast with us. Come live a life worthy to be called life." This Sunday, we also honor and celebrate a man who worked tirelessly to inspire American citizens to respect the dignity of every human being, regardless of people's race or class. Today, we remember the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. He leaned on his faith and became a key leader in the fight for civil rights for African Americans in this country. It is shocking to remember the simple freedoms we now take for granted, freedoms like attending a public school or drinking from a public water fountain of our choosing, or voting in elections, or sitting in any seat we want on a bus. These were rights that many African Americans in our country did not enjoy 55 years ago. We're not done yet, but we've come a fair distance in 55 years. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. and men and women like him created a civil rights movement which has brought us closer to realizing a just and integrated society in this country. We're closer to the world Reverend King dreamed of, where people would be judged on the content of their character and not the color of their skin. Like Simon and Andrew before him, Martin considered the life and the teachings of Christ for himself, and then chose to embrace them and proclaim them. Dr. King was who he was and accomplished what he accomplished largely because he was a practicing Christian. He loved and he suffered. He chose nonviolence and insisted that everyone in his civil rights movement respect the dignity of their enemies as well as the dignity of their friends. And he did this because of the man he followed, Jesus of Nazareth. When we gather today and acknowledge King's powerful witness in the world, we also tell the truth about the faith that we share with him. It can move mountains. It can move mountains. Faith and love, hope and action can carve heavenly places out of broken places. And transformation happens. Grace happens. Not because the transformation that's needed is easy, but because Jesus, our shepherd, is faithful. Come and see.